Okay, first of all, me playing this is kind of like Colin O'Connor trying to be a boxer. I got jokes. I got sarcastic. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Some of you are like, what? Who? You don't even know who that is. How many of you know there was a fight last night? Okay. A guy who had never, ever boxed in his life. Not once. We're not talking about a Rocky story where he already was a boxer and then he gets a shot at the title. We're talking about someone who had never boxed one boxing match in his life and he gets a shot at the title. And not surprisingly, he lost. So I'm going to do something that I shouldn't be doing either. Is this on? Can y'all hear that? Is it in the... I can't hear it. Can you hear it out there? Okay. All right. Now here's the deal. I'm going to keep you waiting for this. I am a terrible guitar player. When I was younger, I used to sing. And I sang in a band and sang in several bands. But I wanted to be a musician. And I took piano lessons and I took guitar lessons. Some of you are filming. Please don't film this, and please don't let this get on. Don't put this on Instagram. But here's the deal. I wanted to be a musician. I wanted to learn how to do it, but I just couldn't figure it out. Especially the guitar, I just couldn't get my fingers to work right. I knew what some of the chords were, and I'd get there eventually. But, you know, the song was over. But it didn't stop me from trying. And I did learn a few chords and a few maybe beginnings to some songs, but it was pathetic. But one of the first songs I learned how to play, this is going somewhere, by the way. This is my introduction to my message today. One of the first songs I ever learned how to play, I didn't choose this song. The guy that was giving me the guitar lesson was choosing the song for me. And so I didn't pay attention to really what the lyrics of this song was. I was just trying to figure out how to do the chords and how to play it. But some of you may remember, this is going back a few decades now. So... just see if you remember this. This is a couple of decades ago, I guess, late 80s, early 90s. Just see if this sounds familiar. And this is going to be really bad, because I promise you, I played this for the first time in probably 5 years or longer, just once this week. That was my practice. Okay, so you ready? Can y'all hear that? All ready? Anyway, how many of you recognize that? Yeah? How many? Say it out loud. More Than Words by the band Extreme. Were they a one-hit wonder? Did they have any other hits? Or was that it? Was that it? Are you impressed that I could play that even? Come on. That's it. That's it. But the lyrics to the songs, saying I love you is not the words I want to hear from you. It's not that I want you not to say, but if you only knew how easy it would be to show me how you feel. More than words is all you have to do to make it real. Then you wouldn't have to say that you love me, because I'd already know. Now, I'm sure they were talking about something else. But my message today is more than words. So that's the whole reason for that little pathetic demonstration. We've been in a series talking about all in and specifically being all in with our worship, all in with our praise, really going to a new level of creating a culture where the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Holy Spirit is welcome here in this place. And somebody's going to have to help me, Andy, because our clock back there has stopped running, and so we need to get it set and on the right time, because I don't even have my gadget here today, and I cannot see my... I wear this for looks now. I cannot even see that anymore. So I need to make sure we're on point here today, on time. But we've been talking about worshiping God, and last week I talked about use your words, open your mouth. Something truly miraculous happens when you actually open your mouth and begin to use your words and confess your praise, confess your love, to sing unto the Lord. And I talked about seven benefits that comes from singing and opening your mouth when you come before the Lord in praise to actually using your words. Today I'm talking about more than words, though. How do we express our worship to God? How are we really all in our praise and our worship to God? The way that I talked about last week is to use your words, but I want to talk about the fact that it's also more than words. Just like this song says, more than words is what God is looking for. And so, how do we express our worship and our love and our devotion or our adoration to God? Three thoughts I want to give you this morning. And this first point is what I talked about. The first point was last week, and that is really to use your words and to sing praise to Him. But the first point that I want to talk about today, it being more than words, is first of all, is in obedience. In obedience. If you have a Bible, go ahead and turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse 15. What is love? Just don't answer that out loud. Just think about that for just a minute. But what really is love? Jesus equated love to obedience. John 14 and verse 15 says, "If you love me," this is Jesus talking. He says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Now, some people may have a problem with the word command or commandments. If we do live in the New Testament age, and so when we think about the commands of the Old Testament, sometimes we think, well, we're not under the law anymore. We're under grace. I agree with that. We are no longer under the law, but we have been saved by grace. We are not saved by keeping the law. We are saved by grace. But Jesus says this in the New Testament era. He's talking to his disciples just before he's about to be crucified. Just before he sacrifices himself for our sin, and he says these words. Now, just think about this for a minute. If God doesn't expect us or want us to obey Him and to keep His commands, why was Jesus telling His disciples the night that He was about to be arrested and the next day He was going to be crucified and then He was going to rise again 3 days later? Why was He telling them that at that point? If He didn't expect us to continue to follow in His ways, to keep His commandments, why was He telling the disciples? Now, here's the deal. You don't have very much long to have to do this anymore. But for the next few hours, I want you to keep my commandments. That doesn't make sense, right? I think that what we need to understand is that sometimes we really do have an issue with this statement, if we're being honest. If you love me, keep my commands. If I said that to my wife, Jennifer, if you love me, you'll do what I command. Now listen, there is nobody in this world that I know of that's more pure than my wife. She has the most authentic relationship with God of anyone I have ever met. I'm not trying to just win brownie points with her. This is absolutely true. You know when Paul said, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ"? I wish I could say that. But I can say it about my wife. Don't imitate me as I imitate Christ, but you can imitate Jennifer as she imitates Christ. Are you getting a big head? I'm not trying to build you. Okay, here's the deal. She really has an authentic relationship with God. And she's just pure and precious. She's one of the sweetest people you'll ever meet. One of the holiest people that I know. But here's the deal. If I were to say to her, if you love me, you'll do what I command. Something dark would rise up inside of her. Akin to rage. Something would rise up, and it would probably start off like this. Well, who do you think you are? And that's the purest, sweetest, holiest person I know. Now hear me today. How many of you in here realize this? There's a little bit of rebellion in all of us. Uh-huh. It's just, some of you are like, no, there's a whole lot of bit. There's a little bit of rebellion in all of us. Now, truthfully, that kind of whatever that is that would rise up in Jennifer would actually have some validity to it. Because she knows me. She knows how selfish I can be. How self-seeking I can be sometimes. How self-centered I can be sometimes. She knows how downright sinful I can be sometimes. In other words, she knows that I am apt to be wrong often. And because of this familiarity with me, she also knows that submission is not just blind obedience, but in fact she's been put here by God to help me. And if I will just love her enough to do as she commands, life would be so much better for everybody, okay? But because I am imperfect, it would be hard for her if I were to say to her, if you love me, you'll do what I command. That would be difficult. But what about Jesus? I'm imperfect, but he is not. He's not imperfect. And in fact, what he says here is out of a heart of perfect love towards you. And understand what I'm saying here today. He's not asking you, there's no self-centeredness. There's no selfishness in Jesus. There's no selfish ambition. There's no self-seeking. There's no sinfulness there. His ways are always right. There's nothing wrong at all about him. He was and forever will be perfect. And so when he says to you, if you really love me, keep my commandments, he's saying it out of a perfect heart of love towards you. Because it's in my best interest, it's in your best interest to keep his commands, to do the things that he has said to do. It's in your best entrance to be obedient. Not to be saved. We are not saved by our obedience. We are saved because of his obedience. He was obedient even unto death to his Father. And in fact, Jesus would never, never tell us to do something he was not willing to do himself and in fact modeled. And he was obedient to his Father even unto death. He modeled this for us. And so when he says these things to you, I wanted to ease this scripture just a little bit. I wanted to try to make it feel better. I thought, now I might change the word command. I might go to a different translation that might say it a little differently. But because that word command, there's sometimes people just have a problem with that. But when you have, what that says is I have a problem with Jesus. It's not so much the word, it's the fact that someone has the audacity to command me to do anything. Well, Jesus does. And the reason is because he's Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord of all. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. We'll read that in just a minute. But he is Lord, and because of that, he has the right to make these commands, but it's more than just a right. It's out of a heart of complete and perfect love for you. It's in your best interest to obey. And a heart of worship is more than words. It's also obedience. Jesus was completely perfect in this. And so I want to take a little side trail on this point for just a minute. Jesus said, if you love me, if you truly worship me, keep my commandments. Yes, we do worship God by using our words and praying and saying words and singing words of adoration to him. But worship really is more than just words. We also express our devotion and our worship to him through an obedient heart and to do all those things that he has commanded. So let me just take a side trail for just a moment. For the devoted follower of Christ, for us to love and to obey his lordship, it really means we have to become a student of the teaching and the sayings and the commands of Christ. This means we need to read and apply God's word on a regular basis in our life. My kids just started back to school, and for them to learn, they have to read, and they have to listen, and they have to continue to put this in, and the same is true with the commands of Jesus. You can sit here and say all day long, yes, 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 I agree with you, Pastor. Jesus is Lord, and therefore we should obey him, especially if we love him, and I trust him. I know he's got my best interest in mind, and so I'm going to obey him. But what if you don't know what he's told you to do? The only way you can know is for the Holy Spirit to begin to reveal these things to you and open your eyes as you read and apply God's word. And so you have to become a student of God's word. So let me just throw out a few of these things that Jesus said we can do to express our worship and love to him in obedience. Matthew chapter 6, just jot these down. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, he says, seek first. This is a command. This is a command of Jesus. Seek first the kingdom of God. Almost on a monthly basis, I come back to this scripture because it's a compass verse in my life. It's one of our key vision verses for our church, to be a family that's building the kingdom of God. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. He also said to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 7:1, do not judge. Do not judge. You ever been judged? Or felt judged? You might be saying, well, I might be feeling it right now because you're talking about obedience, Pastor. But I'm not here to judge you. I just want you to examine your life. Have you been judgmental? Here's the one we like, though. Matthew 5, verse 11 and 12. He commands us actually to rejoice. That sounds great, right? Until you realize in context, he's saying, even when people treat you bad, rejoice, be happy about it. That's a command. Here's a few more. Matthew 5, love your enemies. That's not as easy. Right now in our world today, we've got a lot of people who are enemies with one another. People fighting against one another. A lot of people who say they're followers of Christ, and yet they're just not loving their enemies. Matthew chapter 6 again, verse 19 and 20. He says to be generous and lay up treasures in heaven. These are commands. These are things Jesus told us to do. You say, well, I don't think of these as commands, Pastor. I just think of them as maybe, you know, suggestions. This is how he told us to live our life. These were commands. Matthew 7, verse 12, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The golden rule, right? Matthew 18, pretty much the whole chapter. Forgive those who offend you. Do we see a lot of that not happening in our world today? Do we see a lot of people who are just very easily offended in our world today? Jesus likes to just take things and turn them right upside down on their ear. Matthew 22, verse 37, 38, love God. And it goes on to verse 40, love your neighbor. And that's just in the book of Matthew. And that's just a sample of a few of the things that Jesus commanded us to do from the book of Matthew. But you're in John. I asked you to turn to John chapter 14. So turn back a page. Let me give you one more of these commands in John chapter 13. You're in John 14. Turn back a page to John 13, verse 34. Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you. There's that word again, commandment. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. I believe that he's talking to his disciples here, his followers, and he's saying, this is for believers now. This is for disciples. This is for the church, in other words. He's saying, we need to love one another. We need to display and model and practice what Jesus has showed us to do. And we need to love one another in this church. And we need to love one another in other churches, in other denominations. We need to love one another and stop fighting one another. That's what he's talking about here today. But beyond this, in this selfie generation, I think whether we realize it or not, we think love is all about my needs. I want to find someone who loves me because I need my needs met. We forget sometimes that love is not about selfie. Love really is about helping other people. That's really what love is. And he's talking specifically here to, I believe, one another. He's talking about loving those in the body of Christ. And so the second thing that I way that we can express our worship to God beyond just obedience is in service to one another. John 21, just jot this down, verse 15 and 16. Yet another command that Jesus gave. He said, if you love me, remember the first thing, if you love me, keep my commands. But here he says, if you love me, in other words, if you really worship me, feed my sheep. He said it three times to Peter. He said, feed my lambs. And then he said, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep, if you love me. Again, we're talking about right now the sheep of his pasture. In other words, we're talking about the church. We're talking about the body of Christ. And the way we feed God's sheep is through serving, through giving out of ourselves. Listen, when you greet someone here on our greeters team, you are worshiping God. You're serving. When you receive our children and our children's ministry, and you're up there in our elementary, or you're down here in our nursery, and you're not just childcare at that point. You're not just a babysitter. You are a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ to those children, and you're pouring out, you're feeding them spiritually, you're serving the body of Christ, and in doing so, you are expressing love to Jesus. When you open your home, if you're one of our Connect group leaders that's going to be opening their home this fall, when you do that, when you open your home, you are pouring out, you are feeding God's sheep, you are worshiping. That's worship. That's service to God. He said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. And the way we express that, he says, if you love me, feed my sheep. And Jesus, again, he models this. In Matthew 20, 28, he says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. When you open your home, when you receive these little ones, when you greet at the door, or when you serve in some capacity within this church or within the body of Christ and blessing and feeding and helping, God says, that's worship. That's love. These are ways that we can express our worship to God. Let's talk about one more thing Jesus commanded us to do. We express our love and our worship to him in obedience and in service in the body of Christ. But number three, in reaching the lost. Another way we express our worship that's more than words is in reaching those who are far from God, those who don't know Jesus, who are not living their lives as followers of Christ. Look back in John 13:34 again. It says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another." Now watch, verse 35. "By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." When we worship Him in obedience, when we worship Him in loving and serving one another, we are showing the world the love of Jesus. More than words. As I was preparing this message, one of the key commands of Jesus I felt the Holy Spirit tug my heart back to was Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. If you want to turn there, you can. But Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 and 14, one of the commands that Jesus said was that we are to reach the lost. And the way we do this, He spells it out in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. It says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Now, I think we understand the light part. We are to be light in a dark world. I think we understand that. What's this salt business? We're supposed to be light. Okay, I think I can get that analogy, but what does this salt mean? A couple of things that salt was used for back in those days. First of all, salt was a preservative. They didn't have refrigeration back then, right? If you lived back then and you bought a steak, you were going to have to throw that on the grill right away, because you couldn't throw it in a freezer and keep it for a day or a week or months, because they didn't have refrigeration. So one of the ways they would preserve food was they would cover it in salt. Salt kept the meat from spoiling. Let me say it a different way. Salt keeps things from turning bad. I don't know how to say that. How many of you think things are getting kind of bad out in this world? Maybe just a little, right? I know there's some people that you are an eternal, optimistic, positive person. No, it's getting better. Okay, whatever. come on. Are things getting better? Right now, it feels like things are taking a turn for the worse. Salt is meant to keep things preserved from turning bad, right? That's what we're supposed to be doing. In a world that's turning bad, we are an alternative to that. And when people look at our lives, do they see us engaging in those things that are getting worse and worse and worse? Do they see our lives turning bad? Or do they see us preserving a healthier, better life? But not only are we to be people who help things not to get worse. In other words, we're not supposed to just be people who are keeping things from turning bad. But salt also is a seasoning. It adds flavor. In other words, it makes things better. Right? Are you following me here today? Listen, what this means is that believers, we as Christians, we have a responsibility. But more than that, we have it within each and every one of us, the capacity not to just change the world, but to truly make it a better place. We're called by God, commanded by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to make the world different and better. That's what salt does. It keeps things from turning bad, and it actually makes things better. Now, here's my question, though. Think about this for just a minute and be honest. Is it possible that the salt has lost some of its flavor and the light has grown dim? Why is that? Why is it? We're called to be an example of true worshipers of God. When we obey God, when we love Him enough and say, I'm going to love you, not because I have to, but because I know it's what's best for me, and I know you love me. And you didn't put your commands in here to hurt me, but to help me, and to help me, through me, make this world a better place. To live a life of, when everybody else's marriages are falling apart, we're fighting for our marriage. I heard a statistic recently. I thought this was very telling. Did you know that predominantly unhappy married couples and happy married couples fight almost the equal amount? They argue, they fuss, they fight equally. The difference is the unhappy ones, it's the things that they're fighting over and what happens between the arguments versus the things that the unhappy or the happy couples are fighting over and what happens between. What happens between them is there's a commitment. There's an understanding of covenant that no matter what happens, we're going to work this out. We're going to fight until we get this thing right. It doesn't mean we're any better or any perfect here in the church, but the difference is we're going to do what it takes to work this out. We're going to stop fighting with each other and start fighting the enemy that's attacking us, attacking our marriage, attacking our family. We're going to have healthy families, by God. But listen, that's being salt and light. That's being salt and light. When you have an excellent work ethic and you're the best person that your employer can employ, that's being salt and light. That's making the world a better place. When you're generous with your finances, when you're generous with your time, when you're giving out in your community, not just serving in the church, but serving somehow in your community, when you're doing these things, you're being salt and light in the world. But beyond that, when you are living pure, when you are living holy, when you are living your life in loving obedience to God, you are worshiping Him. And you're more than words, you're being salt and light in a community that needs, because they're living in darkness. It's more than words. This is worship to our God. We are called to be an example of true worshipers. And in doing so, our very lives, how we live and behave, is a testimony of His Lordship. Another command Jesus gave us, this is Matthew 28:19, is known as the Great Commission. But we are called to reach the lost. And He said, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, and baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. There's that word again, commanded. Teach them to observe all the things that I've commanded. You may ask, what does worship have to do with reaching the lost? What does worship have to do with missions? We've talked this whole month in this all-in series. We've talked about missions and we've talked about worship. We've talked about worship. We've talked about missions. What does it have to do? John Piper said this. Many of you may know who John Piper is. He's a well-known speaker and has pastored before, and he's an author of many books. He said, missions exist because worship does not. And he got some flack for that because it's kind of confusing, but I understood what he was trying to say. He was saying these missionary endeavors and these missionary organizations that are so often so overworked and so underappreciated and underpaid would not even have to exist if every believer truly worshiped God the way they're supposed to, in obedience, in service, and in reaching the lost. Missions exist because worship does not. We have to continue to do these concerted efforts because not enough people are truly worshiping God this way. Worship is word, but it's more than words. It's obedience to Christ's commands. It's submission to His Lordship. It's serving His kingdom by serving the body of Christ, the church, and it's reaching the lost. Let me tell you something. When we begin to worship God this way, God is going to move heaven and earth to show up and be manifested in your life. And we're going to reach the world, and we're going to make it a better place. Every tongue, tribe, and nation will be there someday, and we will reach the world and make it a better place when we truly become worshipers with our life. And then Jesus is going to come and take us home. I have a simple but important question, and this is the most important question you will ever answer, and it's a question that Jesus asked Himself. Let me show you one more scripture today. This is Luke chapter 6, verse 46. And I want you to just picture Him asking you this very question. Just kind of block out all distractions for a minute and just visualize Jesus saying this directly to you. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Close your eyes. I'll hear it one more time. Jesus, this is not meant to make you feel bad today. This is meant to challenge all of us as believers. But hear the voice of Jesus asking you this question. Why do you call me Lord and do not do the things that I say? Let me ask you today, nobody's looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed. I just want to ask you to be honest. Be honest with me, be honest with God, be honest with yourself for just a minute. How many of you in here can honestly say, Jesus really is my Lord? Would you raise your hand if that's you today? Just raise it up high. You can honestly say, Jesus really is my Lord, because I do what He says. You know, a lot of hands just went up, and then a lot of hands went right back down. You can put your hand down today. How many of you in here say, I need to absolutely submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Would you raise your hand today? A lot of hands going up. May I pray with you today? I'm not going to call you up here to the front. I just want you to stand where you're at. Just stand up. And there's a lot of people who are going to be standing today. We need to repent. That means change. Change our mind. Change the way we think. So just right now, many of you, you know how to pray already. And if you don't, just talk to God for a moment. Just say, Lord, I'm sorry.